Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Well, good morning. I want you all to just look up here for a minute. I'm really aware of Global and Randy's heart in the last several months, and I'm really humbled to be here. I usually don't get like nervous, but I feel funny inside. So that's something good about that. I do. I feel weepy right now. I feel real honored to stand here. Your hearts to be here is fabulous. This is the will of God. Amen. Because he's all about reproducing himself in us again and again, and as many as would believe that. Now, we all know if you've been around and you've been a Christian for a while, condemnation, guilt, shame, and all these things seem to be prevalent in the body of Christ. It's not to be at all, and I'm going to make that real clear in what I share, because confidence is a good thing that's from the Lord. And Paul warned and taught every man till he was complete in Christ. That was his goal. And so I come across a certain way, but I want you to understand it's because I'm absolutely condemnation free. You can't talk me into it. I'm right with God. I'm standing before him right now as if I've never sinned, okay? That gives me great confidence. The Holy Spirit is in me. He's with me, and he's going to flow through me, period. Okay, you get that? That's where we need to be. And I can't accomplish that. I can't achieve that. I receive that. By simple faith, because of his great love, okay? But I do, I feel weepy, I feel humble right now standing here because I've met Randy and I see what God's doing through this ministry and this vision, and I was looking around at you all and the impact of just you being here. This is right. This is the will of God, amen? So I want to, it was on my heart when he mentioned Deanne to just, you know, we have this right. That's just in faith working through love right now. Let's just protect this family, because I understand it's strategic. I understand every time he goes, it's like clockwork. But the bottom line is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And not that Tom said anything wrong, because he didn't, but we don't ever want to focus on what the enemy's doing, even though we're aware of it. We focus on what Jesus has done. And I want to release that by faith for a family right now that I know you all love, okay? And let's just believe right now that right where she's at, if she's at home, wherever she's at, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon her and removes every trace and every effect right now of any attack. Can we believe that together right now? Would you all believe that right now? We're the body of Christ. Amen? And let's just believe. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, the body that was given on the cross, and the covenant that's unbreakable and everlasting before your throne. And we release faith right now, working through love, upon Randy's precious wife, Deanne. And we right now rebuke every attack, every symptom, every sickness, every encumbrance. Right now, we speak to you in the authority of the name of Jesus, and we declare you to loose your hold from this dear woman. Release your hold from this family. You will touch them no more. We release them into the hand of Almighty God. The grace of God be upon them. Right now, Father, thank you for freedom and deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we declare that Jesus is Lord over the Clark household. Jesus is surely Lord and Lord over this ministry. And we thank you that their family is in your grace and care. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We are going on an outreach today. We're actually going to go out. It's a hands-on ministry. Y'all just came back from a mission trip. I'm sure that was a good experience for everybody. So my heart has always been for America. I've always been believing for years it was my fault, believing that this area was religious and God couldn't move. And I found I was just deceived and bound by the same spirit of religion. God's greater than the spirit of religion. Love conquers all, okay? So he's teaching me that it doesn't even matter what people believe. And I've been taught all my life that that's the most important thing, what the person I'm praying for believes. He says, these signs shall follow those that... He doesn't even talk about the person in need. The believer he's talking about. And that would be you and I as a minister, okay? So I'm going to throw a few things out at you, and I want you to just think on it. Don't react. Just think on it. Just listen to the Holy Ghost. Been praying for people. Prayed for two different people that were alcoholics. Didn't have a word of knowledge. Didn't even know it. Prayed for them anyway. Jesus took away the metastatic cancer and just healed the lady completely. She was terminal. She had no chance to live. She continued to drink for the 2 weeks before her next test. Continued to be a secret alcoholic at home, just drinking her life away. Condemned, had all kind of violations, prayed for her in love in Jesus' name. Spirit of God touched her. She still went home and continued to drink for 2 weeks. She went to her doctor appointment. Not one trace of cancer. Right then, because she's terminal, there's no hope. It went through her breast, in through her ribs, and into her organs. And Jesus just breathed on her as a practicing alcoholic. Who knows that's not what he sees? Who knows that he hangs on the cross and says, forgive them, they know not what they do. It's powerful. Love is an amazing thing. See, we get caught up sometimes in the people and what they're saying and doing, and we're trying to come at them through that or cut through that. We're just here to give people Jesus. We're on the earth to manifest Jesus. Everybody they brought to him, we all know it in the Word. Come on, I know you guys know the Bible. Everybody they brought to him, what? He didn't say to anybody, well, you know, I would, but. Even the Samaritan or the Syrophoenician lady that came running to him, she's crying out, she's a Gentile. It wasn't her time. He wasn't even there for her. It seemed he's there for the house and the children of Israel. And she made such a draw on him, she just got it anyway. It's just amazing. So we have to see this stuff. So this lady, she gets healed. The doctors told her, and look what happened to her. See, because sometimes we get too involved. We try to save the folks, or we try to set them straight, or we try to get them right. We're called to love people in truth, sincerely. We touch her. I believe with all my heart, Jesus wants to heal that lady, period. You see what I mean? You touch her and you pray that. Now she's healed, and guess what happens? Inside, she goes, oh my gosh. This is God. It's that prayer. It was when he prayed for me. And I've just continued to drink, She calls the friend that introduced us, and she told him all the stuff, and the desire to drink totally left her right then. She got born again and got right with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, that stuff touches my heart. I'm like, yay, because it's really, come on, I mean, watch, all I have to do is believing in a Jesus that awesome and that loving that looks past all the things that have stumbled us all our lives. Man tends to look at the outward and we think we got to clean up to receive from God. No, we've been cleaned up through the blood and now we have the right to give that same God that cleaned us up to somebody. You see? Period. I've been praying for people. I think the greatest breakthrough in my life in the last year and a half. See, I grew up religious. I went to church all my life. Mom made me go. Then I got married and I had to go because my wife wanted me to. And I heard the gospel my whole life. She took me to a church where they raised hands and worshiped and danced. And I thought, oh God, why'd she pick a church like this? Because you can't really hide. I figure if I just stand there, I'm backslidden. They'll come, they'll be throwing oil on me, rebuking me or rebuking the devil and telling me, you know, what's wrong with you? So what did I do? So you either don't go and frustrate your wife or you just what? Play along. So honestly, I'm standing this way. I'm humble. Sometimes it amazes me just the places he lets me be. Because for 2 years, I played along and raised my hands and sang all the songs. Just for 2 years, I did that. Just to make her happy, my wife. And my heart was that hard. Who knows that your heart will get harder and harder if you keep doing that. And I was a professional hypocrite, folks. I mean, I was a scammer big time. I won the heart of the church. They were coming up telling my wife what great of a husband they have. You know how great? And she's like, ah. And when the cat was out of the bag, I figured, why go? She's more mad now that I'm going and have everybody fooled than if I wasn't going. So I stopped going. And I lived probably 6 or 7 miserable years, angry, frustrated, selfish. Jesus came to my workplace and spoke to me. And he said, you don't even know if God's really real. I didn't know it was Jesus. If you'd have came up to me and said that, I'd have blew you off. I was wise. I was sharp. I'd have said, well, I just know by faith. How do you know? Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. Come on, where do you come off challenging me? How do you know? You just know. That's how I would have responded. But I couldn't escape this voice and this question. You don't even know if God's really real. Make a long story short, it's quite an awesome testimony. It saved and changed my life. It's called the mercy of God. See, I was so unqualified for this experience. I so deserved death. I so deserved judgment. When you're forgiven much, you love much. I ran from God for years. I had conviction in my life all the time. And I was running hard, and he still came and told me that. And when he told me that, I became empty inside. I felt lost. I felt pitiful. My life, I felt my life was vanity. And I began to cry profusely. I was at work, right in the aisleway of my workplace. And I was bawling. Nobody was there preaching to me. One question. You don't even know if God's really real. I had to answer it within my own heart, and it wiped me out. My answer wiped me out because I didn't. I was lost. And the mercy of God came and just kept pressing on me and pressing on me. And I didn't realize what I was doing then, but I confessed every sinful thing, not detailed sin, categories, if you know what I mean. I'm so selfish. I'm the proudest man. My life's I'm a hypocrite. And I just poured out my heart. It was awesome. While I'm doing that, he's wiping me from that. Every time he's just cleaning me. I see it all now. He was just separating me from that. That's why I'll never be condemned again. See, the Bible tells me even if I do stumble, it's not my heart to stumble. I don't wake up and say, boy, I wonder how I can miss it today and get away with it. Come on. What are we thinking? Look, the reason you struggle with condemnation anyway is because you feel bad because your heart's pure. You don't want to miss it. So why would you receive it for a moment? One of the biggest stumbling blocks in ministering in the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God is a lack of confidence in who we've become. We're still ministering in a self-consciousness and we're trying to produce something. You can't. Folks, you can't. You can't produce a thing. You can yield to what he has produced. And that's all that I believe has happened in my life. It seems simple to me, but it's huge. It's phenomenal. A lady with metastatic cancer who was an alcoholic doesn't have cancer and isn't an alcoholic and is born again. That's fun. I didn't have to change her. I just had to believe. These signs follow those that believe. And I didn't finish the thought, and I'm going back. I know it sounds a little choppy right now, but I'm just kind of just flowing here. What he's taught me in the last year and a half was that to get my eyes off of the person and keep my eyes on Jesus and his will for that person. Did you get that? It's huge. Because if you're not careful, you'll start hearing the words of their mouth. And before you pray for them, you have five reasons why they can't receive. And you'll be deceived. And you'll still pray because it's the Christian thing to do and you're in the position to pray. But you're not expecting or believing because you've always already disqualified the move of God because of what you focused on about them. The more I focus on him and I see his love, see, it's his love flowing through me into them, period. And they could be very messed up. That's not what you see. We've had a lot of encounters with people that they're shocked. They're healed and they're shocked because they're not expecting anything. They'll even say, well, if you want to, go ahead. You can pray. Sure, whatever. See, he's getting excited. Down, boy. See, because they're like, well, whatever. You know, if you want to. Oh, yeah, we want to. And it's not even that God's coming and going and just blasting them. And they're like, he's healing them. He's touching them. And what hurt doesn't hurt anymore. And just think how humbling that is if you're in their shoes. And they're being nonchalant and sarcastic, and they're like, yeah, whatever. And God is so incredible. It says he's humbled himself to consider the heavens and the earth. God's love is so profuse that even in that attitude, he'll come and just boop. Because what's it do to the heart? The goodness of God leads men to repentance. So the last thing they deserve is prayer with that attitude. But that's not what love says. Love says, touch him and pray and let me be God. Do you understand? Because we represent who? Him. We are the body of Christ. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom so he can reproduce himself in us and through us. Okay? It's just very huge. To wrap up where I was going, because I shared the testimony because of that thought. Looking past the people. I want you to get that. Don't get focused on the people. Now, if the Lord gives you a word of knowledge when you're praying for somebody and tells you something about them, about their life or an unforgiveness, that's one thing. You respond to that. If you get an impression while you're talking to someone, so you're Ricky, right? So I'm talking to Ricky. I've never met Ricky, and he's a prospect for prayer. I'm going to pray for him, and all of a sudden I get an impression about something. I'll bring that up. But if I hear him and say he's talking negative or he's like real hopeless, see, Jesus is hope. God's the God of all hope. I'm to bring hope into his situation. I'm a doorway of power. because of what I believe about the love of God for Ricky. So nothing about Ricky should be able to change that, stop that, or hinder that. And we've grown up in the church believing the opposite. I know I've grown up in the church believing the opposite, but for the last year and a half, that's one of the biggest breakthroughs in my life. That's what has me excited, because I keep saying this in my heart, nothing can stop the power of God. That's what I say all the time in my heart, nothing can stop the power of God. And we've allowed mere men and their situations and attitudes to stop the power of God. We think, well, you know, Jesus couldn't do any mighty work in his own hometown because of their unbelief. Who knows, we've been taught that. But if you look up the unbelief, it was rejection. They didn't accept him as Jesus, as the Christ. They you're just the carpenter. You make me mad. Who do you think you are? They rejected him. They resisted him. They didn't want him, you see? And he really couldn't do any mighty work there. That's not the same as somebody that if they could be healed, would want to be healed, but they just can't believe.
Well, it'd be great if God could do that. I mean, I just can't imagine. I've been like this for 20 years.
And you hear the unbelief. You hear they don't know God. That's why we're here. That's why we're anointed. That's why the Holy Spirit is upon us, you see? It has nothing to do with the hometown and the Nazareth and the rejection. Who knows, there's a lot of people, if they just say, yes, you can pray for me, who knows that's enough? That's all you need. Just the open door of, well, whatever. Even if it's a whatever. I've had people come to healing services and say, hey, what do I have to lose? And we think, oh, what a terrible attitude. Oh, that's an excellent attitude, because Jesus will jump right on them. And they'll say, whoa, I'm glad I came, you see? It's just, but we've got to get in agreement with the heartbeat of God, okay? Or we're going to hinder our own faith, and it's all about our faith. It's all about what we believe when we're reaching out and touching them. We have to be convinced it's the will of God to heal the sick. Why is that important? Because sickness and this stuff that we see what it does to humanity. It all came because of the fall. Who knows that's true? Who understands that Jesus came to restore the effects of the fall of man? Redemption means brought back to original value. That's why I tell you, without being presumptuous and pompous, there's not an ounce of pride in this. It's confidence. It's exciting to me. I'm standing in the presence of God as Adam and Eve in the garden before the tree. Right now, as if I've never eaten a tree, because of the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus, he has washed away what? Sin. And we've been so deceived in the church. Well, and we think it's the humble thing to do. Well, you know, we're always going to be sinners. We're never going to be perfect. Well, you know, until we get to heaven. And then we're so conscious of our weakness, we forget about his strength. We're so conscious of our ability to fail, we forget about his ability to prevail in our lives. So I'm not sin conscious at all. I'm right with God. Do you get it? I'm just right with God. I don't have to prove a thing. I just accept that. So that's what I mean by redemption. Brought back to original value as if I've never what? Sinned. So Jesus comes as the redemption of man to bring man back to original value as if he's never what? Sinned. So all the things that sin has brought to the earth must be destroyed through the name and blood of who? Jesus Christ, through his people. That's why we pray for the sick. He came to what? Heal the sick. You read Luke 4 and he reads Isaiah 53 or Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, right? Luke 4:18, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And then he talks about setting men free, right? When he commissioned his disciples, what did he say? Go and preach, the kingdom of God is at hand, and what? Heal the sick. Cast out devils, raise the dead, or cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. In Luke 10, he just simply said, go heal the sick. I like that. He just said, go heal the sick. And then tell them, the kingdom of God is at hand. There's a whole lot of folks you pray for that you just say, hey, I see you're really struggling. Would you mind if I pray for you? Just want you to know I'm going to pray for you in the power of the name of Jesus, and he is my king. He's my king. And they're like, well, sure. You pray in the name of Jesus, be healed. It's not your prayer. It's what you believe about his accomplished work. It's not what you say. You got to get this one real clear, okay? Because this is where self-consciousness stumbles us. It's not about what you say. It's about what you believe. And be healed or be made whole in Jesus' name is real simple. Anybody can pray that, but we got to believe that. And it's the name of Jesus. I've actually seen cancer disappear without even talking to the cancer. I shared a testimony yesterday with a fellow from this ministry. I remember I had my hand in my pocket, and the Lord just, it wasn't irreverent. He wanted to teach me and others how it's so the will of God and how simple it is. We're not under pressure today, guys, in our lives at all. The Spirit of God is with us. He's for us. He's with us, and He's for humanity. He wants to redeem. I just remember standing, this lady had cancer. She's weeping. She's frail. I looked at her situation, and it just gripped my heart like I feel it now. I just wept because I saw how she suffered, and I know what He suffered. I remember just going, Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus. And that cancer just said, oh, man, I don't know about you, but that's like fun and simple, and I didn't have to do nothing. Just Jesus. Who's the Lord? Jesus. What are we giving the people? See, this is why we want to grow up in Him in all things. This is why we want to know who we are so who He is can flow through us. The greater revelation you have of God, the more you'll see who you've become because of Him. And the more confident you'll walk. And this is school. This is good. I mean, there's no pressure today. Tom and I talked. Todd, we talked. Nobody's under pressure today. I'm going to cover a couple scriptures here just to build our confidence. But nobody's under pressure to produce anything today. Okay? But we're going to step out and begin to get conscious of the opportunity in front of us in life. We don't want this. Believe me, we do not want this to be a ministry event today. It's not a school assignment. Okay, am I okay sharing it this way, Tom? It's not a school assignment. It's not like some fulfillment in the school at Global. This is to introduce us to the lifestyle that's available and the doorways that are open to just to live with this consciousness. But this is just a good opportunity, and it's a tool to step into that and begin. Some of you might already be flowing in that a little bit. Some might not at all. So it's just good to go out, and that's just open up the doors. That's all we're doing, okay? But nobody is trying to produce anything today. Please, I charge you. Nobody's going out there to gain identity or to build your spiritual identity. We're going out there because Jesus loves people, and He wants to flow through us to touch those people because of what we believe, okay? It's just real simple, but you're not under pressure. You're not out there, oh God, I got to hear a word of knowledge. It's fall. Apples are hanging all over the trees, right? Did anybody ever go by an apple orchard that looks really cool? Or in the spring, you go by orchards, cherries, peaches. You know what I mean? Who knows we're trees? Okay? Whoever saw an apple tree quivering in the orchard all through the summer? Apples! Apples! Nah, apples! And also, boom, woo, yeah, apples. And we tend to strive in the church. We do. We tend to try to produce things because we just got to be more conscious of Him. That's why the soaking is great. And Jesus in me, the hope of glory. And God, you're so good. See, we're abiding in the vine. The fruit comes on the branch. The same sap in the vine is in the branch. And why do you produce what you produce, Dan? Because I'm an apple tree. You get it? It's just because it's what we do. We just produce fruit unto God. It's just what we've become. Does that make sense? I'm a real simple guy. I'm not a real deep kind of guy. I'm like really simple, okay? I am, but I'm having fun. I was just sharing the word the other night, and a lady was sitting listening who had a stroke, and the symptoms and effects of the stroke left her body while I was preaching the word. Stuff tears me up. It's the power of God, the word of God, the truth shall make you what? So wonder if we go out manifesting the truth, secure in our identity, confident in Him, separate from ourselves, dead unto ourselves, alive unto God, and we're sincere in our love. I'll bet the truth's there making people free. That's what we're doing. We're yielding ourselves to Him so that He can have His way. And, amen. Is anything I'm saying making sense? Because I feel real excited, and I hope I'm not just like a flake here today. I'm just like, yeah, I feel that way. I'm like, yay. Is it making sense? Okay, good, good. I don't know why. The last several times I talked, I felt like I was babbling in places. I said, am I babbling? I don't know why I felt that way, but maybe that's good. I'm so far out of tune with that I'm in tune with him. Amen. Glory to God. There's some scriptures. Well, let's look at Colossians real quick. So nobody's under pressure. You get that? Okay? Okay, yes. We're not going to Colossians. Forgive me. I got interrupted. Let's go to Luke, okay? Real quick. I wanted to go to Colossians earlier, and I just remembered that. And there's other plans. I want you to see something. Luke, this is good. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. Okay? Jesus is in the wilderness. You all know the scenario, right? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He fasted there, what? 40 days. He was tempted by the devil. We all know the teachings. We've heard, I'm sure, a lot of teachings. He overcame the temptations and the devil by what? What was written? The Word of God. Okay? It's huge. I'm not making light of it. It's huge. Watch. The devil said to Jesus in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, or since you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. This is amazing. See, you can't let your identity ever be up for grabs. Your identity is settled in what God has said and done through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why I'll never be condemned. There's nobody can condemn me. It's impossible. See how weird I get when I say it? I know it. It's true. I just can't be condemned. Watch this. I will receive his love every day of my life because I found that he so loved me. He sent his Son and he loves me. And I'm not going to talk myself out of what he said. He's God. He loves me. Look, just get over it. He loves you. He just loves you. And he sent his Son to prove it. So I'm not going to feel unloved. Wonder if I feel unloved. Wonder if I feel far from God someday. Thank you. You said that you're right here and you'll never leave me. And I appreciate you. And your closest dimension of your name, Jesus, I love you. And you don't start going around to your prayer partners and saying, pray for me. I feel so far from God. Because all you're doing is building the identity of a struggle and a problem. You're just making it huge. Come into agreement with God's word. He said he's right there. When do we just trust him? When do we just believe God? You see? When I don't feel loved. Just declare your love. Just sing Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. Be a Bible believer, you see? Live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look, the devil said, if you're a son, watch. This is really good. I see where we're going now. Now I'm in tune. Half the time I have no clue where I'm at, but now I got it. This is good. Watch. When you're out praying for the sick, it's just what we do. We're not trying to accomplish it in our own heart. We're not going out to approve ourselves, affirm ourselves, or feel better about ourselves ministerially. You get it? That's a trap. That's a trap. There's not love in that. There's more self-consciousness in that than you realize. Okay, so it's a little precarious. We've talked about this. It's a little, we're still in a school and we're still going out. And it's important for us to keep your hearts protected where this is a love mission. This is just because of who we've become, what we've become. And we're just going out and just seizing the moment and the opportunity to begin to live this way. Does that make sense? I know I'm a little redundant with it, but it's got to be hit hard. Watch what the devil did. He said, if you're a son, command the stone to become to bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. Now, I realize in Deuteronomy, this is quoted. And then he says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God or every word of God, depends what translation you have. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God or word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, I can understand the bread part. He's on a fast. He's being tempted. And all of a sudden, you know, the devil's coming, hey, turn this stone into some bread. You know, you're hungry or whatever. And I've heard a lot of teachings on this. But I've always questioned, why did he add the rest of the phrase in Deuteronomy that says, but every word out of the mouth of God? What's that have to do with turning stone into bread if you're the Son of God? And I got meditating on that because I like to think about that stuff. Who knows, the word's full of revelation. So I'm thinking it would have been enough if Jesus would have just said it's not good to man live by bread or a man doesn't live by bread alone. That would have been enough to answer the, he could have stopped right there. That would have been sufficient. That would have He'd have just kept pressing through, doing what he was doing. Instead, he said, but by every word. And I said, Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, where did he just come from? And I'm thinking, well, he just got led in the wilderness. Okay, he just got baptized by John in the river. And then he went into the wilderness. Okay, what happened? I'm thinking, I'm in my bedroom when this happened. It was so cool. All of a sudden, I remember Jesus came up out of the water. And what did God say? This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. The devil says, if your son turned the stone into bread, what's Jesus really saying? Look, I don't have to do anything to be a son. I'm a son because God said I'm a son. I don't need to turn any stone into any bread. I'm a son. See, we don't do to be. We're not going out today to do anything to become anything. We're doing what we do because of what we've become. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 quick. Does that make sense, this principle? Because it gets backwards, and your identity should never be up for grabs. You can't ever do to be. You don't go out to try to achieve and accomplish something to affirm yourself and say, oh, I really am Spirit-filled. You go out because you are Spirit-filled. You go out because God has sent you out through relationship and fellowship with Him. The word is go. Go into all the... Now, a lot of Christians say, okay, look, I got to go so that I do what He called me. And we're out there trying to affirm identity and get a testimony and grab encouragement and confidence. Now, we've got to be sure, students, that we're encouraged and we're confident. It is the will of God to reach out in love and to reverse the mark of sin and the fall of humanity or the fallen nature of man. It's God's will to reverse that. Always, period. You get it? Okay. Ephesians says, let's just read it. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Boy, that's good. Remember, you don't even know if God is really real. That's what He said to me. I poured out my heart, confessed my sin. And then I looked up at the rafters, and I was never so serious in my life. I said, if you're really real. See, I didn't even know He was real yet. I'm like, if you're really real, I'm bawling. I'm at work. If you're really real, and if you really love me and can forgive me and have a plan for my life. That's just what came out of my mouth in that order. I remember it. And I said, I will live for you. And when I said that, I can't even explain what happened. He just came and went, I'm real. And I lost it. I went absolutely ballistic. Unreserved. I was at work. I'm jumping. I look like I need a 911. I did. Because now look how He dealt with me. He showed me the deep despair of my soul and my life, the emptiness, the vanity of who I was living to be. And I was hopeless and lost. I was lost. He showed me how lost I was when He said, you don't even know if God's real. And it carried the weight of heaven. It wasn't like if we were just talking. Remember how I used it? And then I cried out and responded, and He came in His reality. The Spirit of God bear witness with my spirit. And I was jumping, screaming, jumping in circles, going, you're so real. You're so really, really real. You're real. And I'm screaming. I mean, I'm way underplaying it right now. I'm just, and I try to work. I thought, oh, my, I'm at work. I got to work. And then I just stop and do it all over again, spin in circles. And I look like I've lost it. But I can't explain. That hasn't fallen off of me since. That was 11 years ago. It was just so good. Short couple months after that. I mean, spiritually, chronologically, I got a big spiritual nooker and little Pampers on. I'm a baby, we think, because I've only been saved a couple months. Yeah. Now, forgive me. It's just so much religion that has crept in. Look, when I am saved, sincere, with a pure heart, the pure in heart shall see God. There's no strings attached to this thing. I'm saved. I'm born again. Heaven has come in me and upon me and wants to manifest me and showcase the Son through my life for His glory, not me. I'm just blessed, man. I'm thankful. You see what I mean? So all I'm doing is reading my Bible, and I'm thinking, I've never really learned this. I've never saw this. And I started to step out, and I was 3 months old in the Lord. A man needed a fusion, degenerated disc. I'm 3 months old in the Lord. He come through the work like this. And I said, where are you going, man? He said, they really found a problem when they took my x-ray. They said I shouldn't even be doing anything. I could go paralyzed. And they got to do an emergency fusion. I'm going to have an emergency fusion. That's a shock to the soul. And I just very simply said, 3 months old in the Lord, would anybody ever pray for you? He said, well, I mean, my mom prays for me. I'm pretty sure she prays all the time. And I said, well, moms are great. But I said, no, I mean, did anybody ever lay hands? Because I found 3 months old in the Lord in my bedroom reading, just between me and I found if I believe and lay my hands on the sick, they'll recover. And you know what? I just believed that. I didn't really have a fancy prayer. I didn't even know a whole lot what to pray. It was pretty childlike, in fact. I said, well, can I just pray for you? And I told him the scripture. He said, here? I said, yeah, right here. And I put my hand on his back. Father, you said in your word, two scriptures came to mind. You said in your word, these signs follow those that believe. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they'll recover. You said in John chapter 16, 23, anything I ask of the Father in Jesus' name, it shall be done. Who knows that my relationship with God in my bedroom seeking, in my bedroom of God, the secret place, he was rewarding me in the open with what I was seeking. Who he is in my life was motivating me to pray for this man and the confidence that God would come and heal him. Well, I prayed and he turned and walked away and he didn't seem any change. He's looking at me kind of like, is that it? Well, that was sweet. You know, that was nice. And he went. Well, in the time of when he got his next MRI there, before they did this serious checkup because they needed, before they went in there, they had to really get these clean pictures and, you know, the technology they have today. Well, when they got the pictures back, the guy's disc, no lie, it's just totally normal. I'm 3 months old in the Lord. I don't know nothing. But I know I found in my Bible, if I believe and I pray, he'll do it. It's just simple. No strings to that, right? So another month later, my heart got branded by that. I was like, wow, this is, who sees that it was flowing out of my relationship with God and out of my secure identity in Christ? I wasn't trying to pray for the sick to validate God's with me or for me. I was praying for the sick because I knew he was, and he was compelling me. Love compels you. You see? So then I saw this fellow, and the Lord said, he needs a miracle. Go ask him. And I went over and I asked him, and he had a hernia surgery scheduled, a very bad tear, and it was scheduled for the next day or something. And I asked if I could pray for him, and I put my hand on it, and you could feel it. I don't know if you ever felt a major hernia, but it doesn't feel good. The muscles are tore, and the insides are pressing out. And I put my hand on it, and it just closed under my hand. And I'm 4 months old in the Lord. And I'm standing there. I got like this. I didn't cry. You think you'd cry? He cried. I got like a little hyena. I'm like, woo, it's God good. And I just got like, yeah, it just affected me that way. There's times I cry. There's times I laugh. But that's just how it hit me. And his belly closed. It went closed. He searched and couldn't find the hole. And I watched him kneel to the ground. Just weep and weep and weep and go like this. He's about 40 years old and just worship Jesus. 4 months old in the Lord. So that's been just a quick history. And, you know, we're 11 years later and a lot of just good times. And is that Brandon? Are you Brandon? Good. Brandon and I were talking on the phone. I didn't get to meet Brandon yet, but we talked on the phone and I heard his heart. And he has the same heart that I do in the sense that we want to protect your hearts where we're not going out here to try to accomplish something for the kingdom or to validate our ministries. We're going out here because Jesus died for humanity. And it's just a good opportunity to step out and get active in thinking that way. You are not pressured today, folks, to go produce anything or accomplish anything. We're not going to say, so how many people did you pray for and who got healed and did you get their names? And I really feel like we're okay and we can be that simple today. To just, and some of you might want to pair up, and we can talk about this in a minute, but where somebody that's got a little more experience or you've felt a little more confident in this or you've stepped out and lived this way like I'm talking, and maybe hook you up with somebody that's saying, man, I never really stepped out like this. But you're just not under pressure. Do you get that? It is God's good pleasure to flow through our lives and our hearts when our motive is love. And if it's as simple as you just walking aware and open and listening to the Holy Ghost, and you just see a dear lady limping, and it's obvious you don't have a word of knowledge. It's not some great thunder speaking in your heart and your body's not vibrating. You just see a lady limping. You go over and you say, ma'am, I see you're really struggling as you're walking. If you don't mind me asking, you know, you're with your other person, we would send you out together. Just two in a little group. Like the Bible. And you just ask her and you just say, well, look, you know, and Tom and I talked about this. It's real careful. I don't want to give you a method, so I really don't want to give you a lot of analogies what and how to say. Just be real with people. Just be genuine. We're going to pray that before we go, that God's heart would overtake our hearts. And you're not tongue-tied. It's not like you can say the right and wrong thing as much as it's you're being sincere. You're just loving the lady. And see, I'm being real careful in even how I approach this, because I don't want you jotting a note and then puppeting what I'm saying. It's not like that. Those that are led by the Spirit. It's just an opportunity to be led by the Spirit. But genuine love comes out in sensitivity, because you see she's laboring and you know down in your heart Jesus paid a price and he can breathe on her in a moment and set her free and just end that. And through that, even have access to what? Her soul, if necessary. She might already know the Lord. She might not know him as healer, though. I've been in a lot of situations where I'm ministering to a lot of denominations and people that have been taught that God puts all this stuff on and teaches his character and da-da-da-da. And I get to just unleash the will of God through the word. And they sit and cry, don't they? And they get healed. And they think they're carrying this and doing God a favor or something until they hear the word on it. And then Jesus kind of like just takes it away. It's fun. But you're not under pressure. You just go up to the dear lady and you speak something very gracious and simple out of your heart. Well, look, we were just hoping you'd let us touch you and pray. We really believe it's the will of God to set you free, to heal you. He'll touch you right now. He'll take away all the pain. Be adamant. Believe that he will. I don't hesitate to tell people he will. And I'm not telling you today you have to walk up to somebody in a wheelchair because it's your Christian duty and pray that they get out. You might just not be there. He shared something. He walked by a man with no limbs the other day, and his daughter said, so why don't you pray for him, Dad? And he felt really challenged. He thought, my God, I'm just not quite there. And he cried over it. He was like, God. And the man passed back and forth like three times. But yet, in the other situation, it's almost simple. We build confidence in things. So you're not under pressure. Do you get that? Am I making that clear? We're not going to try to accomplish anything like that. We're just going to be sincere and real. And all of a sudden, your heart goes to this little old lady. She doesn't have to be old. She just be hurting. And your heart goes out there. And there's a sense of compassion. You say to your partner, let's just ask her if we can pray. But I'm real clear to tell them Jesus will take that pain. Can we pray in Jesus' name? Can we just pray? I just was getting my car checked out the other day, and a lady, I heard her talking about her back, and she sounded hopeless, and she was making her way out, and the Lord told me, and sometimes he'll tell you to pray right there, because everybody needs the experience. But she was a very large lady, and she already was hurting, and I didn't want to, in front of everybody, have her bending and checking and doing that. It just felt like the love of God. I waited till she was all alone, and that wasn't wrong. That wasn't, you know what I mean? It was just that way. I've prayed for people in the open, in front of everybody, because it's just right. And then I've waited till people got outside the restaurant, and I've slipped out beside them, you know? You just know. I don't want to preach a method here. We just got to ask the Lord to lead us that way in the mode of his love. But let me wrap this up. We were all lost, right? We were all dead in our trespasses. We all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in sons of obedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Man, remember my workplace experience? So that was me, verses 1, 2, and 3. He came to me. He was rich in mercy, and he loved me. And when I was dead in trespasses, he made me alive together with Christ. By grace, I've been saved. So see, I'm already saved. I'm already filled with the Holy Ghost. I've already got the authority and the power of the name of Jesus in me. You get it? It's just real simple. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together. So we got to get a hold of this. We have to become in order to do. Religion says do so you can be. Do to be. Life in Jesus says be to do. So out of our being, we manifest what we manifest. We do what we do. Out of my being, the hernia went closed under my hand. Out of my being, the disc was re. And that guy's so cool. He wasn't serving the Lord. He had a Christian background like me, the guy's disc. That was years ago. He's born again. He's serving in the church in Gettysburg, and he's one of those fellows in the grocery line. I mean, he'll be just standing there waiting to pay, and he'll just elbow somebody and say, well, Jesus is really good, isn't he? Man, I tell you, he loves you. Do you know him? And he's just genuine. He just, because he's so touched and changed and he loves God. He's been forgiven much and loved much, and he has a new disc, and he tells people the testimony, he prays for people. So Jesus just reproduces himself in as many as we believe. Amen? Amen. I want to wrap this thought up in Ephesians, because it's clear here. I know you're getting the point. I just want you to see it in the Word. He raised us up, verse 6, together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not of your works, lest any of us should boast. See, you want your motive to be crystal clear. It has to be love. If it's not love, it's nothing. You know, the Bible warns, it says you can have faith to move all mountains. You can have knowledge of all mysteries to come. And that doesn't, that's not the qualification. It's that you have love. Amen? Amen. It's really good. Now watch. You've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are, look, students, look what he's telling us. We're his workmanship. He's the master potter. He's molding us into his image. We're created in Christ then for good works. Do you get it? The good works are prepared beforehand that we should walk them out. They're important, but through right being. So it's very important that everybody settles in their heart today, I've been made right with God through Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. You know, we all preach Romans 8, 1, there is now no condemnation in Christ. But what about John 3, 17? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Once I read that, condemnation's done, man. It's done. God did not come to condemn me, but that through his son I would be saved. You know, the word saved is sozo. It means healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept well, and safe and sound. He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that through his son the world would be healed, delivered, protected, preserved. And we're the body of Christ. When should I wrap up, Tom? Because we have to have time to assemble and stuff. Right now, or do I have like 5-10 minutes real quick? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's just see what we need to do. Just feel. Thank you, Lord.
And just to let you know, one thing that I would love for you to do after we do some assembling and figuring out
right
where, is that I'd love for you and Todd and Brandon to pray.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to. There's a certain thing I heard to pray, and it's really in agreement with your heart, Brandon, because we talked about this. And love. Brandon has in his heart, it's somewhere down the road here in the near future, to start reaching out specifically to a neighborhood or people and show a consistent love where it's just a real Christian charity. It's the virtue of Jesus. It's love, man. It's just, yeah, God. No, you're not. Yeah, let's do that, because I've given him a freedom if he wants to. Yeah. This is the scripture that was in my heart, and I just didn't know how far to go with it. That's why I asked time. Let me just throw it out there. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have. If we pray anything according to God's what? Will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the thing that we ask. It's very important to settle in your heart. It's God's will to heal and restore humanity and to do it through your life that's submitted and yielded to Christ. Amen? So it's all about confidence in him, not of ourselves and our works, lest we should boast. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, good deal. Brandon, did you want to work it that way? Yeah, come on up, sir. Oh, yeah. Just realized I got it.
He told me, and man, Brandon's there anywhere in Harrisburg area. If you should get him to help out, because he was like one of the best guys, just who had outreach, the right understanding, and just is able to lead folks into that. And so, and I already knew that because I knew Brandon. We worked together for years. So anyway.
All right. Is this on? Yeah, okay, good. Oh. Yeah, basically my heart is I love people. I really love people a lot. And I think that's really what everything boils down to is love. That everything, it has to be centered around love. That my only agenda, you know, when I first started going on the streets, it was all about I wanted to be recognized. Like, I remember listening to testimonies of Bill Johnson and people who'd go out and pray for people at Starbucks. And I'm like, I want to be one of those guys. I want to be one of the guys who prays for a blind lady in the middle of Starbucks and her eyes opened up. And that was like my main motivation for the longest time was, I want to be one of those guys. But once the miracles and stuff started happening, that wasn't the place. It was just like, okay, now I'm here. Now what? What's the point? And it had to become like a hard issue that it is all about love. That my only agenda for going out is not to try to get 10 people saved today. It's not to try to get a broken arm healed. It's not to try to do this or that. Because people are going to know it right away. They're going to know what your agenda is. They're going to know. But if you don't have agenda, you just have love. You just mess people up. They get all messed up because they don't know what to deal with love. And that's like one of the things that I just love, like my heart is, I want to find a neighborhood. I haven't picked one out yet. And I just want us to begin to go to the same neighborhood every single week. I mean, I want to be able to go to the Starbucks. I want to go to the malls. But I want to go to a neighborhood where we can just constantly go in and just begin to love people. A neighborhood that's maybe a little bit broken down and run down. There was one out in Redding that I used to go to every week. A really run-down neighborhood. And I'll just tell you a quick story. There was a guy there by the name of Scott, and he had his wife, his name was Leah. Scott was in a wheelchair. He was just messed up. He just didn't like life that much, and it showed. He had no hygiene, didn't wash his clothes. The inside of his house was in shambles. It was one of those houses where you walk in and they got a whole entire wall from the ceiling all the way down to the floor of nothing but stuffed animals. And they're all just gross. And the outside of the house was just gross. Everything, they just let everything go. And every week I'd come by and just be like, hey, I'm just here to serve you guys. Is there anything I can do? Can I pray for you? Can I mow your lawn? Is there anything I can do? And every week they'd be, you know, they're like, nah, we don't need anything. And it took about 3 weeks till they realized I wasn't a Mormon, you know, or Jehovah's Witness, you know. But it really does. Everybody's really skeptical because they've all had the door knock, you know. And once they realize that there's only one agenda, and the agenda is love, finally they let me pray for them. And the next week they're like, well, you know, we really need to mow our lawn. Could you do that for us? I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem. I would have done that weeks ago. So I go out to the lawn, and the lawn's really, it's not that big. It's only about from here to that wall or so. It's really not that big. And I was just going to mow it down with a weed whacker really quick. But the whole entire lawn is just full of dog poop. And it was just the nastiest thing because the grass is grown up through it. And they didn't have anything to clean it up with. They hand me a kitty litter scoop, and I try scooping it out, but the kitty litter scoop's about ready to break, and I'm just like, oh, gosh. So I go in, and I get a plastic bag, and I just begin to pick up poop. And I fill up a 5-gallon bucket full in this little lawn. And, it was horrible. I felt like puking the whole time. I get the whole lawn mowed down, and after I do this, it makes such an impact on these people that the very next week, they're outside because we had a bus ministry also, and we'd pick people up to go to church. They're ready for church. Scott had had a haircut. His whole entire yard, like once you get in the area where he lives, smelled like cleaning supplies. They'd clean out the whole inside of their house, the whole outside of their house. For the first time and I don't know how long, they decided to go to church, and they get their whole lives together. And the love of Jesus Christ is more than just a broken bone being healed. I mean, picking up poop's a supernatural work. And I want to, you know, it is. It's just. But I want to see broken bones healed. I want to see deaf ears healed. And I want to be able to pick up poop. I don't care what it takes, but I want to bring a gospel of love. And I want to bring a gospel that says, look, I don't care, but I care for you and I love you. And I'm consistent. I'm going to keep coming back because that's the Jesus I got. And these people, they don't got consistency. You know, like I'm all about the grocery store and going in. But to me, 90% of the time when I see miracles out there isn't when I'm out going looking. It's just when I'm waiting in line and all of a sudden my arm begins to burn. I'm like, I begin to look around and I see like, oh my gosh, somebody else has a broken arm. Hey, can I pray for you, sir? You know, or I'm on my way to, it's just Pastor Surprise from Mozambique. He preached a sermon and he calls it On My Way. While I was on my way to here, while I was on my way. And that's how God moves. It's just while I was on my way. And I just, like a place, like the neighborhood, I was sharing with Tom and just, I love going to those places because every week I can go and just pour out my heart and it just keeps me sharp, you know, so that when I'm on my way someplace else, I'm able to pour out so much easier, you know, because every single week, like, it's tough sometimes, you know, sometimes you're praying for a family and nothing happens and maybe that aunt dies. Then what are you going to do next week? Are you just going to try to skip over that house? Or are you going to show up and still be in the comfort? You know, maybe that aunt gets healed. That's what I want more than anything. But it's real life, real people, and you're going back to them every single week. And I really think that's the place where it really takes just the heart. I really think it takes that, just that chutzpah, just to keep going, to keep going, and to keep going. And you know, I think it, all the malls and stuff, like, I want to take the presence of God everywhere I go. But you hear all the stories and be like, man, I can't do that. You know, I can't just walk up to a stranger. It's really easy. You just got to get over yourself. You know, but it's really hard when you've been going to the same person 4 or 5 weeks in a row and nothing's happening. You know, and it's just like, oh, gosh. Is the same God of yesterday who healed still going to heal? Are you still going to be determined? And that's, maybe you guys don't have a problem with that, but that's for me, that's where the rubber really meets the road, where I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go after this because I know God's going to heal you. You know, and that's just basically my heart. So here in a little bit, we're going to, if you guys want to, I really just love to get a neighborhood where we can just begin to get invested in and just begin to pour into. Maybe every once in a while, like on a Saturday, just come in and just throw a block party where we just cook hot dogs, you know, and just do things and just invest into a neighborhood. Just give them to them and see what God will do. So, all right.
Before I go, amen. All right. Wow. I got a big mouth, so you can probably hear me anyway. Everybody doing okay? Real good? How good? Like, come on, Jesus just didn't open a car door. He died for you. It's real big, right? Come on. Look, I was a drug addict for 22 years. And, God, this month is my 2-year anniversary in Christ, man. He came in my life and, he like really took out the trash. And I found out that, he really loves me. You know, I grew up in the Masonic homes. I spent a good amount of time in jail. I got thrown out of the Marine Corps. I had a lot of hard times. I dealt drugs for a while. And he really came in and he's Lord. Amen. I love what you're sharing about love. That's what we do. We love people. And you know, there's a reason why the sinners, the liars, the thieves, the prostitutes, they flocked to Jesus. They had to be around him. They had to be around him. They, oh God, we got to be around this guy. What is it about this guy? It was love. It was compassion. They were drawn to him. They had to be there. Why? I mean, they look, a lot of sinners and thieves and prostitutes, and they won't come near the church today. Why? Oh, you need to clean up your act before you can come here. Come on, you guys. That's a lie. Look, Jesus, you can't do right unless you be right, right? You can't. I could never even think about loving people and wanting to be there for people until God came in and took over my life. It's huge. My ministry is what, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to go into the neighborhoods and do that. But, you know, we're an open gate of heaven wherever we go. We're called to manifest. Our purpose in this world is to manifest Jesus. That's what it is. Look, why would people want Jesus in you if they can't see it in you? If they can look in your eyes and they can't see Christ in there, why would they want what you got? They don't want it. The world's tired of that. Look, the world's tired of being Bible beat and brow beat and told what they're not. Look, Jesus loves you, man. He loved me, a drug addict, a waste of life. Who everybody said you're a loser, you're always going to be one. God didn't say that. He sent his son because he loves me. He loved me. He loves me. And now he lives in me. And nobody can take that from me. It's real good. I pray for everyone everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Yesterday, I'm in Rutgers, and I had to run and stop on the way to church. I needed to use the bathroom, and there was a lady behind me. God gave me a word of knowledge about her back, and I said, ma'am, I said, you have trouble with your back. She smelled of alcohol. Well, God's bigger than the alcohol. He's way bigger. I was a crackhead. Come on, man. Jesus is Lord. It's really good. And he loves me, and he loves her. And I said, look, I said, since I told you about your back, y'all let me pray for it maybe. And I started telling her. She just looked at me real skeptical, and I looked at her, and this is like a famous, I call it like a famous one-liner. I looked and I said, look, I said, the worst that can happen is nothing. What do you got to lose? She goes, you know you're right. I said, right. Now come here. And I prayed for her and rebuked that thing. And as I'm praying for her, the Lord said, it's two of her vertebrae, L2, L3. So I shared it with her and she goes, you're right. And she bent over and she stood up and she's healed. And she immediately is like, I don't understand, because God loves you and he cares deeply about you and he wants you to know that he's real and he loves you. And he wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to be your father. He loves you. The world's not used to that. The world's, you know, and we're going out today. It's not about ministry. It's about Jesus. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's about the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He's in us for our sake, but he wants out, because there's a lot of people out there that don't know it. And even if they think they do know it, they probably don't. And when he comes and he just manifests himself, it changes everything. The debate's over. I've seen Muslims. I've prayed for, I've went into gas stations and had Muslims in there and went up to the register and they got their Muslim thing going on. And God, Jesus died for them too. Hey, it doesn't matter what you are. Look, our war's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities. It's against strongholds. It's against the lies of the enemy. It's not against people. So if someone comes and you go to pray for someone, or you go to talk to someone today and they rebuke you, it's not them, it's what's in and upon them. Because let's face it, if they had the same Holy Spirit that you have, that Jesus has, they wouldn't be doing that, right? So I said to him, I said, you guys hear the good news? And I told him, he goes, oh no, I don't think so. And he started to rebuke me. And I'm like, man, Lord, let's end the debate. This is crazy. And I said, look, which one of you guys is in more pain? And the guy behind me, it started manifesting in his shoulder, the Muslim. And I said, come here, man. And I know I'm confident that God will back it up. If you're bold enough to step out on a limb, he's bold enough to hold you there. Even if the limb's bending and you think it's going to break, it doesn't matter if it breaks, because he's right there. He's got you. And who, look, gosh, man, what's the worst that can happen? They don't get healed. Okay. Gear up with more of Jesus, because the next time you go out, in your secret place, you cry out for more of him. So I said, bring your shoulder here. Look, if he's not Jesus, then you won't be healed. I don't do that all the time. But sometimes it's necessary, especially when you get around Muslims and the different religions and different cults. I've done it and seen Rastafarians, the Jah is my God, and they'll be healed. But I prayed for this guy, and immediately God banged him right there behind the counter and healed his shoulder. And he looks at me, he goes, it's gone. I said, Jesus, man, he loves you. It's all about him. And the other Muslim guy that was rebuking me came around and he goes, you got to come back someday. Why? Because they don't know love. And when God hits somebody, look, when Peter was in the boat, right, and he was telling Jesus, and he threw his net over and he brought up all the fish, what did he do? Oh, Lord, away from me, I'm a sinful man. Why? Because when the love of God shows up, it changes everything. It really does. And I saw that Muslim a couple months later, and he's like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. It was so good. It's so good. Look, I heard Bill preach on this. He said Jesus couldn't heal the sick, couldn't raise the dead, he couldn't cast out demons. He couldn't, and we know that from John 5:19. He said, I and of myself can do nothing. Jesus said it. He did. It's in his word. I believe it. God said it, period. Jesus said, I can do nothing. Well, how did he do it? Through the Holy Spirit. How did he only do what the Father showed him to do? Through the Holy Spirit. How did he only say what the Father told him to say? Through the Holy Spirit. There's this really cool scripture that I got a hold of, and I truly, it's like my Romans 8:11. Says the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Does he dwell in you? Who's not sure if he does? Be bold and raise your hand. You're not sure if he does? Yes. Come here, you. Okay. Right on. Right on. And I would, oh gosh, come here, you.
Oh, Lord. Come here. Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you for a boldness, Lord God. I thank you for her heart. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now, just show her. Just show her how much you love her. God, Lord Jesus, just come right now. Holy Lord, we just praise you and glorify you. Stretch your hands and pray, class. Come on. Holy Spirit, right now, just love her. Just show her. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we just love you. I praise you. Father, I thank you for this woman. Lord, she's a princess, Lord God. She is, Lord Jesus, we just praise you. Manifest yourself right now. To our Holy Spirit, come right now. Jesus. Oh God. We love you, Lord. Lord God, I just pray, please, peace, the shalom of heaven right now. The shalom of heaven that you would reveal. Just like Peter said, you're the Christ, revealed by the Father. Holy Spirit revelation. Love her, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. That's good. You feel that?
Yeah. God, he loves you so much. Whoa. Jesus. Go.
Look, it's unavoidable. You guys, you got to love people. You can't. If there's someone, there's people around you everywhere. If you're having doubts, you get with a strong Christian and you get them to pray with you and you love on them. No matter what, man, Christ in you is greater than anything in the world. Either that scripture is true or God lied, and God's not a man that he should lie. Right? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, period. That means that one person in Christ is the majority no matter where we go. Look, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in you. He's in you for your sake, and he wants out for other people's sake. Don't you dare hold him in there. He's not a lake. He's a river. He needs to flow, and you only gain in the kingdom of God what you're willing to give away. Never ever will you get more unless you give away what you already have. Amen. Look, I saw a guy in Life Center the other day, a couple days ago. I just want to share this one testimony. A lady came up to me and she said she's a nurse for cancer patients that have been doomed to die. She's a nurse that is the last of the nurses that say, listen, you need to call hospice. They opened you up. They found it all. They closed you back up. No operation. End of story. She like hears testimonies at church all the time, and I share them all the time, and other people share them. And she said, the Lord's put it on my heart to get you to come in to pray for these people at the last stage. I love that, because God's the only hope they have. That's the only hope. And I'm sharing with her and just loving them. And her husband is standing over there, and the Lord said, he has severe back injury. I want you to pray for him. So I said, sir, I said, Brian, what's wrong with you? Your back. And she just was like this. And I said, what's wrong? And he's had back surgery. He's had pain in his back for 20 years. 20 years. And we shouldn't have to go through that. We shouldn't. Jesus paid a price so that we could have that. He didn't just like open a car door. He paid a serious price. It pleased the Father to break his son so that we could have healing today. And I said to him, I said, let me pray. He goes, oh, I've been prayed for 100,000 times. I said, look, I don't care. Just let me pray. And he let me pray. And I felt the power of God touch his back. And he started bending over. And he started checking. And he fell to his knees and was crying because all the pain left. All of it. Every bit of it. He had a numb leg for 20 years. 20 years. So numb that all the muscle had deteriorated in his leg. He pulled up his pant leg to show his wife, and his calf muscle was growing right there. His leg, the third day after, was bigger than the other leg. So God's like able to do more than we could ever ask or think. He overcompensated, right? Now look, he gave his testimony at church, and when he did, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He gave that testimony, and 15 people that were out there stood up and were healed. Their back problems for years and years and years were healed. And he gave his testimony and he cried. He said, you know, he said, it's more than a healing. He goes, God broke my pride. God showed me he loved me. His whole life was changed because he got touched. So when people get touched today, don't take it lightly. I tell Pastor Dan, sometimes you only get a 5-minute opportunity window, sometimes in the public. Because everywhere we pray, for two guys yesterday out on the street and just both their backs got healed and they're blown away. Get a couple minutes of opportunity because they're busy. They're in life. They're busy. But they're overwhelmed. So it's a perfect opportunity. It's prophetic evangelism and it's power evangelism. It opens up a window for them to truly receive the living Christ. But love people, period. Don't you ever, 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 ever leave it inside you. And if you're not feeling bold, I'm telling you, man, he's willing to back you up no matter what. Step out. He stands behind his word. He's exalted it above his own name. Amen? I love you guys. Well, I really do. God. Oh, God. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.